Marine has seen a lot of time with the ones. How has he done it, and what's impressed you to help his ride?
Yeah, Brock has done a nice job. He has great attention to detail. He's very sound from a technique standpoint. He's smart. He plays fast. He does not make a lot of mistakes, and that's good to see. And so, I think it's arrow up with him. He's doing an outstanding job so far, and we'll see how it goes. We have competition there. There's nothing set in stone, so we'll just continue to monitor him and the rest of the guys, and we'll end up with a good group, I think.
Now, does that competition really increase for him when Chris Conning gets back on the team?
Yeah, I mean, the more guys you add to the mix, the more competition there's going to be. And so we're looking forward to getting Chris back out there, getting Stelts back out there, and we'll roll those guys through, and it'll be a fluid situation all the way through training camp.
Well, this past month, what have you been able to learn with the linebacker group, switching guys, different positions, getting a good view at Bostic and Clown, all different spots?
Yeah, well, those guys are versatile athletes, and we're training most of those guys to play multiple spots, and they've handled that well. And Shea's made the transition up to this point. He's done a nice job with that, and he looks like he's comfortable playing linebacker and in coverage and in rush. And it's just a versatile group with great competition, and they're very competitive. And we move them around quite a bit, and they know that on the front end.
What's the long-term value of having guys know multiple spots?
Yeah, well, when guys go down, you can just plug a guy in. And especially if you're going to be a three or maybe a four and a five linebacker or a six linebacker, and you're going to play special teams, you got to know multiple spots. You can't be a backup and only know one spot.
He just says Bostic in his second year, his comfort level of where he projects in your scheme right now.
Yeah, I think Bostic is a lot more comfortable in what we're asking him to do. He's a lot more consistent. He plays fast. He looks like he's having fun. I don't see a lot of frustration with him in terms of what he's been asked to do and why. He's getting lined up quickly, and he's making his calls, and he's playing fast. And so those are the things that really come with experience in the scheme and that type of thing. I think he likes the group that he's in. It's a good room. We have a really nice mix of veteran players and young players. And then we have good coaching. So I think it's a good environment for him to become the best he can be in there.
What's the biggest difference between what you're asking him to do now compared to last year?
Well, we're slowing his progressions down a little bit in terms of his run fits. And we're asking him to stay square a little bit longer and just mirror the ball and feel where needed and then fall back where needed. And so I think that's allowing him to just be more of a natural linebacker off the ball.
Obviously, you won't be able to get a sense of how good some of these guys are until the pads go on. But
exactly right.
The defensive line in which
sure.
them and Jared.
Yeah. Well, you know, we all know that in order to have a great defense, it starts with the defensive line. And so there's been a lot of focus there. And, I mean, you mentioned Jared Allen. He's done a fantastic job so far. He's a real pro. And when he practices at a high level. He's good in the classroom. He leads by example. You know, Ratliff is very, very stout and rugged inside. He's hard to handle in there. He's got a great experience. So, you know, you add, Willie Young, Paya, Lamar to that mix, and the other young guys that we have, and, you know, we have great competition, again, at that spot, too. You know, a mixture of young players and veteran players, and it's a salty group. And the focus with the D-line this season has been, you know, hand use, you know, pad level, setting a vertical edge in the run game, and then being able to play your gap and half of another gap. And that's a violent shed situation. So I like the group so far. It's a lot of competition. There's a lot of guys in there that we think can make this team, and we have to make sure we get them reps in training camp so we know who are the right guys for us.
Joe, you mentioned Shea's comfort level in coverage and in rush. Do you envision him as more of a specialist than a four-down linebacker?
A specialist? He's going to be a typical 4-3 linebacker for us. I see him as probably more of a blitzer than maybe a four-down rusher, but he will have some edge rush opportunities. I think you saw some today.
What do you appreciate more about Jared now, having had some time with him than you did before you had him?
Well, it's pretty much he's pretty much what we thought he was. He's a high motor guy. He's passionate about the game. You know, what you see is what you get. And he's really a no-nonsense guy. I mean, he's going to come to work. He's going to put his work in and lead by example. He's very knowledgeable about the game. He's a good teammate. You know, he's very coachable. And I think that's what we thought we were getting. And so he hasn't disappointed us.
Is he and maybe Lamar Houston and some of the other guys, some of the new guys, brought a different swagger, edge, as opposed to last year? Just the dust up in OTAs, you know, some of the offensive guys. Is there a different swagger than the mentality amongst the defensive linemen?
Well, we're putting a premium on toughness and being rugged and being stout and having tremendous anchor in our D-line and being able to control blockers and violent shed and, you know, get off blocks and make plays and push the pocket in the passing game and win the one-on-ones. And in order to do that, you have to be tough and you have to be physical. And I mean, that's just the trenches, and that's what we're looking for. And I think that's what we have with those guys. And, I mean, that's just the way it's got to be in the front with those guys. I mean, you can't play any other way in the front if you don't have tough guys in there that want to scrap and fight and toss guys around and win one-on-one. And so, you know, we're not able to do a lot of that because we don't have the pads on, but we can see some of that with our hands, our violent shed, and things like that.
I think you said you call them a salty group. That's a compliment, isn't it?
I think it's a compliment. I don't know. You could ask them if they think that's a compliment. if Coach Tuck called you a salty group. You have to ask those guys. They're rugged. You know, they're good guys. You could tell them that. Coach Tuck said they're good guys, too. So, no. I mean, we need to be tough in our front, seven, and throughout our football team. And so, throughout our defense. And it starts up front. And we preach that every day. And they seem to want to be like that. And that's their nature. So I think that's a good thing.
Mel, just be clear about some of these linebackers and where they'll be competing in camp.
Yeah.
Be versatile a little bit. But will Shea predominantly be strong side, John in the middle?
In our over 4-3 scheme right now, Shea's playing the Sam spot. That's where James Anderson played last year. But he also has lined up at Mike there. And then in our nickel packages, he's also played Mike in nickel. So, we'll move him around as needed. Bostic obviously has played Mike in base. He's played Sam and Will in base. And he plays both spots in the nickel spot. So, in the nickel package. So, DJ has played primarily Mike in there.
No other indicators at this stage, I know it's early, that Charles Tillman is 100% and back. Look, might be back to where he was in 2012.
Well, I mean, he's worked hard to get back, and when he's out there competing and the reps that he takes, he looks good. And so, you know, none of us are where we need to be right now. And so, these next weeks before training camp are going to be critical for us to make sure we're in the best shape we can be in when we come into training camp. And then we'll take it from there. But Charles is, he loves football. He loves his team. He has a tremendous amount of pride. And he's worked very hard to get to the point where he is today, which allows him to take reps and compete. And he's done a nice job with that.
You've got some different guys who have experienced the nickel spot. What are you specifically looking for out of that position?
Well, you know, the nickel spot for us is it can be complicated at times. So you want a guy that has a very good football IQ, high football IQ, good instincts. And a guy that has a good demeanor in terms of poise inside. You need a guy that can play tight man coverage. We need to get off the field on the third and medium type downs. A guy that can break on the ball in zone and match patterns in zone. And then you would like a guy that can give you something as a blitzer just has a credible threat off the edge to create one-on-ones for other guys, and if he can get on the back or he can win on an edge and things like that. So, you know, that's what you look for at that spot among some other things.
How much did you mention? Where have you seen Tim progress as he's gotten back into that?
Yeah, we're just talking today. I mean, it's a rep-to-rep process with those guys because, you know, he's playing corner one snap, and then he's playing nickel the next snap, and he goes back and forth. And so it's just a matter of becoming comfortable and playing at a high level at either spot, and he's working to do that. But he has the traits, and we played him some last season in practice, and he has that in his background, a nickel in his background. So I think he gives us an excellent chance to have production at that spot. And so it's just a matter of getting the reps and you know, making sure that he continues to work at it, and he'll do that. I mean, these guys, they want to be great, and these guys have a tremendous amount of pride. And when you ask a guy to do something new, they want to be great at it right away. I mean, that's just how they are. And so that's his approach. He just doesn't want to go in there and just be a guy and hang out in there and maybe make a couple plays. No, he wants to be an excellent nickel and be productive and then go out in corner and be excellent there. And so that's what you're looking for at that spot. That's what it's going to take because, I mean, you're going to spend, you know, half, if not more, of your snaps during the season in sub packages. You know, that's just the way the league is right now.
Now, how much do you like using that slot corner as a blitzer? What are the trade-offs you have to consider?
Well, if you when you add another guy to the rush, whether it's a nickel or another linebacker, you take someone out of coverage. But typically, you're going to create more one-on-ones if you add someone to the rush. And so hopefully, you can win those one-on-ones when you create more of those. Now, obviously, you have to speed up the quarterback's clock because you have less guys in coverage. So the rush and the coverage have to work together. And so you want guys that when you call their number, they can get home, and then they can help guys win one-on-one. And so we look for mismatches and look to attack protections, you know, with linebackers and defensive backs, you know, corners and nickels. And we want everyone to be a threat to come from every spot.
Did you feel like you guys were more equipped to do that this year than last year?
Yeah, well, I think we're going to be able to win one-on-one with a four-man rush, obviously. But then when we add guys to the rush, I think it just have more opportunities. I think we'll be able to win. I think we'll have good coverage behind it. You know, we've added a couple, you know, different schemes and, you know, packages and a couple fronts and things like that are going to help with that. But, you know, at the end of the day, we need to be able to get pressure with four guys, and we're going to work to do that. But when we call guys' numbers and we add someone to the rush in the run game or in the pass game, it's for a reason. And we need to have production. We're not going to do it just to do it.
Speaking of one-on-one, guys, Kyle Fuller's been tested right away, lining up against, you know, guys like Brandon Marshall. How has he handled that?
He's done a good job. I mean, Kyle is a guy that he doesn't back down from a challenge. He's always going to look to make plays. He's around the ball quite a bit, and he looks like he belongs out there. And so, I don't have any issues when he's out there. I feel good about him out there. We just got to keep getting him better, and he's got to learn the system and learn where his help is and what technique we want him to play here, and continue to progress. But you know, he has what it takes, I think, to be a good player out there for us.
Now, how has the addition of coaches Pasqualani and Herring affected your job? And how close to 100% or full speed do you feel your staff is at this point?
Yeah, well, you know, those guys are. You know, I've known Coach Pasqualani for a while, and we've clinicked together and spent some time together talking football and done some things. So I really knew what he was all about. And in terms of the front, you know, we want to play a certain way. You know, we want to align a certain way. We want to use our hands a certain way. There's a certain way we want to play blocks to make sure that we can control the line of scrimmage and make the plays we need to make. That was important, and we're on the same page there. Coach P, first and foremost, is a great person, but he is a hard-nosed, tough guy, no-nonsense guy. He's going to get after it. I mean, from the time that those guys step on the field, you know, pre-practice to the time they leave, he's working them. And it's the same way in the classroom. You know, Coach Herring, again, is a guy that I've seen him coach over the years, and I know what he's all about. From a coaching standpoint, he has a tremendous amount of experience, and he knows from being in a 4-3 and a 3-4, he knows how we want our backers to play, you know, and the technique and fundamentals and how we fit in the run game and how you have to play these zone schemes that we're seeing. You know, a lot of the run game in the NFL right now is zone plays, you know, inside and outside zone, hard zone, flat zone, and it's not just, you know, ISOs and powers. And we have to understand, and we do understand that, you know, from a front seven standpoint, you know, we got to get our hands on guys. We got to play blocks, the linebackers. We got to be square. We got to shuffle, mirror, fill, and fall back, period, regardless if we're in cover two or we're in cover three or whatever we're in. That's how we're going to play. And so we understand that as a group, and we coach them that way. And I think the players are responding.
Now, how was that end-of-season conversation with Mark and Phil about how your first season here went and moving forward, what you'd like to do? And I guess on top of that, how tapped in were you with what Phil wanted to do, and how excited were you with between free agency and the draft, what he was able to get?
Yeah, I mean, we talked about this a few weeks ago. It's, you know, it was just pretty much, what do we need to do moving forward to get to where we want to go relative to the defense. And so, you know, I laid out my vision for the group and what I thought needed to be done, and it was it was aligned with what they thought as well. And so it was just a matter at that point of putting the pieces together from a staff standpoint and then from a player standpoint, you know, whenever possible, and then going to work and rolling the sleeves up. And they have confidence in me to get that done, and so that's what we're doing.
Now, what can you expect from Chris Conte at the beginning of training camp from a participation standpoint and a competitive standpoint?
We'll see. I'll wait till when camp rolls around, you know, we'll get a report, and they'll let us know, you know, who's available and how much they can do. You know, that's pretty standard. And then whenever he's available to start working, we'll work him in and get him up to speed and get him the reps. He's been in the meetings, and so he knows, you know, what we're doing. We're going to start over pretty much in training camp with our installation. You know, so a lot of it will be review, and then we'll add some things as we go that we didn't cover in OTAs and coaching sessions. But, you know, it's going to be – he's gotten the mental work in, you know, in the classroom and things like that. It just be a matter of getting him the physical reps. And when he's ready, he's ready, and we'll work him in.
If you guys got to get Coach Trussman down, so –
Have
you had conversations with Chris? I know Mark, you said in the past that he has talked to Chris, you know, about confidence, whatever happened last year. Have you sat down with him and talked to him?
I told Chris I can't wait to get him out there. And he said he can't wait to get out there. And that's where we're at.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thanks,
Thank you.